So I want to take up a series of Rashi's in Parsha Shemini, this past week's Parsha, which are regarding Aaron and Moshe, specifically Aaron's attitude to, I guess, the initiation of his Avodah in Mishkan. Okay? So we're going to go through a number of Rashi's, and we're going to try to see if we can put them together a little bit. So I did this, Aliza brought some of these to my attention, and kind of she had an idea, and I had an idea, and I'll see what you guys think. Okay, so basically there was this period of basically where they were preparing, setting up the Mishkan, okay, inaugurating. This is basically they've been building the Mishkan in Parshas Truma, Tetzaveh, Yaakov, Pekudeh, learned all the Kahalachos of the Karbonos and the Ikra and Sav, and now they're really ready to go. They inaugurated the Kohanim, I think, and then in Sav, but now they're basically inaugurating the Mishkan, getting it ready to go. And there were 7 days, we'll see from this in a little bit, there were 7 days of Avodah, where basically Moshe was doing the Avodah for 7 days, but then on the Yom HaShmini, Vayiva Yom HaShmini, is basically Aaron is going to start doing the Avodah. Okay, and Rashi, the pasuk says, "Vayiba Yom HaShmini," in the beginning of the parsha, "Kara Moshe Aaron Olvano." Right, so Moshe called Aaron and his sons and the Canaan. "Vayomer Aaron, Kach Lecha Egel Ben Bakar Lachatos, Vayel Ola Timimim Akav Neshem." So bring this korbanos, bring a chatos and an ola. Okay, and the chatos is the egel. So why is an egel a calf? So Rashi says, "Kach Lecha Egel Laudia Shekipa Lakadosh Baruch Hu." To show, to make known that Hashem was mechaper Aaron for his involvement in the egel, via him bringing this egel. So this egel is like a mechaper, or a demonstration of the fact that Aaron is forgiven for his involvement in the egel. Okay. And then the Shav Ayel Shaman is often Hashem, Mincha B'lov Hashem, Ki Hayom Hashem Yer Alechem. Today is the day where Hashem is going to appear before you. Namely, to have Rashi says, Hashem Shechina Ma'aseh Deicha. The Shechina was going to dwell in the Mishkan on this day. A fire was going to come down from the sky and eat up the Kavanos and be an indication of the fact that there's Hashem Shechina in the Mishkan. The culmination of all they've been working towards. Okay? So these Kavanos, which Aaron's going to bring, are the Kavanos which was going to set the whole thing in motion. Okay. So sure enough, he did it. And then it says in Pasuk Zayin, "Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, Krav El HaMizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach, Vaseach, Chatos HaVasolatzva, V'chaper V'atzav Aram, and do the Chatos Na'ula, Vaseach Kevanam, V'chaper V'adam, Kasher Tziv Hashem, and do the Karba for the nation, like Hashem commanded." So what do you mean, come close to the Mizbeach? I mean, of course, he already commanded him, he already said they're going to bring the Kavanos. Great the Kavanos. Right? So what's he saying, Krav El HaMizbeach? Come close to the Mizbeach. So Rashi says, this is Rashi on Tess Pasuk Zayin and Vayikra, Krav El HaMizbeach, Aaron Bosh. Aaron was embarrassed. V'yorei Lagashas. And he was afraid to approach. Omar Lamosha, Lama Ata Bosh? Why are you embarrassed? V'kach Nevcharas? This is what you've been chosen for. Right? This is what you've been chosen for. Stop being so hesitant. Embarrassed, on the contrary, this is even chosen for, so okay, come, Karav, El HaMizbeach, come close. So you see right away, Aaron was, the carbon here, amongst the carbonos was to be show that Hashem was Mechap Aaron for that as well, and there you go. But today is the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, and Aaron is hesitant, he's embarrassed. And Moshe is telling him, come on, let's go. Okay, fine. So then, I'm going to skip a few psukim. It goes through the different process. They brought the karbanos and all that. And they went through the whole process. And then, okay, I'm dumping out all the way until, okay, then it goes like this. So it says, then in the chapez, I guess, Vayisa Aaron et yadav elav, Vayivarchem Aaron deberchas kohanim, people, Vayir nasa sachatas olosam, and he came down. Vayiva Moshe Aaron el ol moed, and then Moshe Aaron went to the ol moed, Vayitzev, and they left, Vayivarchu asam, and they blessed the people, Vayirach kvod Hashem el kalam, and the Kvod Hashem dwelt on the nation. Okay, so this was the big thing which they were waiting for. Okay, the fire came down and it burned the Karbanos, and all the Jews bowed down and they were. Okay, so what's this thing by Eva Moshe and Aaron? So it says like this. So now Rashi says like this. So what did they come in for? What's this whole thing talking about? So Rashi says, in it's the Rashi on Chav Gimel by Eva Moshe and Aaron, but it's like halfway through it. Okay, I'm not starting in the beginning. They're different pshatim, but Davar Acher, he says. Davar Acher. It says, Kivan Shira Aaron, Shekarvu Kol HaKarbanos. Once Aaron saw that he brought all the Karbanos, the Naasu Kol HaMaisim, and he did all the actions. He disposed of all the Karbanos, which he was supposed to do today. The Lo Yard, the Shechina Yisrael. But it didn't work. The Shechina didn't come down. The fire didn't come down from the sky to indicate that Hashem was accepting the Karbanos and dwelling, so to speak, in the Mishkan. Hayim Mitzdayer. So Moshe Aaron, when Aaron saw this, he was pained. Omar, and he said, Yodea ani shekos kosh baruch lelai. A lie. I know that Hashem must be angry at me. Ubishvili, lo yard the Shvili Yisrael. And it's because of me that Shechina isn't dwelling on the Yisrael. Right? Because why? Look, he did all the karmanos, and it's not working. The Shechina is not coming down. It must be, it's because of me. Hashem must be angry at me. Omar lo to Moshe, so he said to Moshe, Moshe achi, kachas isali. This is what you did to me, Moshe, shidachnasti, that you brought me in, and it's bayashti, and now you made me embarrassed. Right? Someone could hit mute, please. Right? I hear the background there, please. So Moshe, this is what you did. You embarrassed me. Right? So, what's going on here? Right, here it is. I was supposed to do that avodah. I was supposed to Hashem, the Shechina was supposed to rest. And now I'm being embarrassed. What are you doing? So miyad nichnas Moshe imo. So immediately Moshe went with him. Uvikshu rachamim. And Hashem, and he davened for mercy. V'yorad the Shechina Yisrael. And the Shechina dwelt in Kal Yisrael. Right? So it seems like in a certain sense. Yeah.
Just a quick question, was there, before this, was there other situations where there was the same acceptance of Hashem to the fire that everybody witnessed? Like what there?
No, I don't think so. I think this is it. This is the one in the Mishkan, at least. This is basically, they're all setting up the Mishkan, getting it all ready, and this was the first time that they were going to have the real, we'll see in a second, but you'll see, this is the first time. Okay? So this is the first day, and Aaron, basically, this is his big day. He's bringing all the karbanos. He brought the karbanos, and Hashem wasn't answering. Right? And Aaron's saying is, look, Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you doing to me? This is really embarrassing. Here it is. You're making me telling me to do all this stuff. Hashem chose me. Hashem wants me to do it. And now it's doing it, and it's not working. So then, sure enough, Moshe says, no, don't worry about it. And he went and davened, and then the Shechina came. So you might wonder, like, what was the purpose of that? I mean, if Hashem really was, if this was supposed to be the day, so why was there a lag in it working? Right? It seems like Aaron, in a certain sense, was right. Maybe Hashem wasn't accepting Avodah. After all, it didn't quite work. And it demanded that Moshe Rabbeinu davened. So we could ask, why was that necessary? Okay, and then let's go a little further. And then, Vayitzev Yavarach Am. In the next Rashi, Amru, but he blessed the people. He know Hashem Aleinu, he rotzah shetisha Shechina masedechem. So he blessed the people that maybe God will that the Shechina will dwell in your hands. Okay, now this Rashi is interesting again. The fisha kol shivas mehamalon shehemidu Moshe l'mishkan. So the first 7 days, again, this was the Yom Hashmini. So what happened on day 1 through 7? So it says the first 7 days of they were inaugurating the Mishkan, shehemidu Moshe l'mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan. All the 7 days. The Shemesh Bal, and he did the Avodos. He was like the Kohen for the first 7 days. Uparku b'chol yom. And he built it. He built the Kabanos, and then he disassembled it. And lo shar so Shechina. And even though he was bringing the Kabanos for these 7 days, the Shechina didn't dwell in the Mishkan. Lo Yisrael nechlamim. And the Jews were embarrassed, ashamed. The Amrim, and they said, L'moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, kol ha-torah shetarachnu. All this tircha that we did, right? We spent all our time building the Mishkan and all our energies and all that. We went this whole process in order so that there would be the Hashra Shechina in the Mishkan. Then we would know that Hashem forgave us for the Egel, despite the Egel. Hashem is going to dwell amongst us, so to speak. Right? That was the whole purpose. And here it is. You're bringing Korbanos for 7 days, and nothing's happening. Right? So, Lekach Amar, therefore it says, Zeh Adavar Shetziv Hashem Tasya. This is what you should do. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. This is what Hashem said you should do. The Yerachin Kavod Hashem, and the Kavod of Hashem will appear. So he says, what does that mean? Aaron Achi, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Aaron, my brother, Kedai v'chashev imani. He's more significant than me. More chashev, he's more Kedai. Shalidei Karbanos Sav, the Avodah Sav, because through his Karbanos and his Avodah, Tisha Shechina b'chad. The Shechina will dwell amongst you. The Tedu, and you will know, Shemakam b'charba. You'll know that Hashem chose him. Okay? So basically, you have this thing, is the Moshe Rabbeinu did Avodah for 7 days. To no avail. It didn't work. Right? The Shechina didn't last. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, it's not, don't worry about it. It's not because of, there's nothing wrong. This is good. It's Aaron. Aaron's the one. He's the one who's going to do it. So on the eighth day, it will be clear he's the one who Hashem chose. Then sure enough, on the eighth day, comes the eighth day, Aaron's all hesitant. He doesn't really want to do it. He feels embarrassed or whatever. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, this is who you're chosen for. Do it. It'll be good. And then Aaron goes and does it. He gets pushed by Moshe to do it. He goes, he brings the Gavod, he brings the Kabanos, and it doesn't work. And there's no Shechina resting, and Aaron's saying, oh my gosh, he embarrassed me. What's the whole point of this? Right? Why'd you tell me to get, why'd you put me in this situation? And Moshe says, no, don't worry. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna daven, and then, and it'll work. And then sure enough, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, and then sure enough, the fire comes down, and the old people are all excited, and they say, wow, unbelievable. Okay? So that's the story. That's the story, as depicted by Rashi. Okay, does anyone have any questions on the story? Any problems? Right, if we want to analyze this, so I think we should do it by, taking questions, see if we could break it down, ask questions on it. Okay, so
if Aaron was actually greater than Moshe, then why didn't it actually work for him? Why did Moshe have to daven?
Yes, okay, good. Right, if Aaron was the one that was chosen, if that was the plan, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, then why didn't it work? Well, right, if it should have just worked right away, straight out. Why did it not work only until Moshe Rabbeinu came along and davened for him? Okay, good question. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Any other questions?
What was the status of Aaron? Was he the Kohen Gadol? Like, was that, like, he was appointed Kohen Gadol? Did he lose that status after the Egel? It seems that it was confirmed even before this. So why did he not have the confidence to, or why did he feel like he wasn't worthy?
Good question, right? What was his hesitance? Right? He was the Kohen Gadol. Who did he want to do it? Right? We didn't want to do it. And look, Moshe Rabbeinu did it for 7 days. It didn't seem to work. So what exactly was his hesitance? Right? Good question. That's a good question, Moshe. Okay, any other questions? Just as like, I don't know, for anyone who's new to this year, so again, I prefaced this last week, but on the Tuesday night share, I like it to be a participatory. I don't really have I don't want it to be like a lecture, but I'd like, questions, answers, interactions, back and forth. That's the style of this year. So anyone who's, feel free to ask any questions or to work it out together. So in that spirit, anyone else have any problems or questions on the storyline here?
So if Moshe knew that Aaron was selected for the Avodah, then why did Moshe do the Avodah for the first 7 days? Why didn't it just start with Aaron?
Right, good, right. Yeah, make up your mind. What's the plan, right? If Aaron's the one to be the one, then why didn't it start with Moshe Rabbeinu for 7 days? Right, it's like you're getting mixed messages here. On the one hand, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is the one. Moshe Rabbeinu does it for 7 days. He says, oh, no, don't worry about it. I'm not the one. So why'd you do it? Oh, Aaron's the one. Okay, now Aaron does it. Then Aaron does it, and that doesn't work either. But it sounds like this isn't working, right? Like, what's the, it sounds like a broken plan. Like, why not just do it right the first time? Who's the one to do it? If you don't, Aaron's the one, let him go on day one, let him do it. And it should work. But you have Moshe Rabbeinu doing it, and it seems to fail. He says, oh, of course it failed. I'm not the one. It's really Aaron. He's the one who's chosen. And then Aaron does it, and that also doesn't work. And, oh, let me go talk to Hashem. Oh, then it works. It just sounds like it's not quite working. It sounds like they're not on the same page almost or something. Of course, that's not true, but it just sounds the whole plan, something's wrong. Right? The whole thing is, you know, what's Aaron thinking? What's Moshe thinking? So to speak, what's Hashem thinking? What's the plan here? What's the tivoy? What is... Why, if in fact Aaron was the one who was chosen, why didn't it work? Why did you need Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah? Right? I mean, it just, the whole thing is kind of confusing. Oh, another piece of information. Okay, so one other piece of information is, so we would say, it says that the carbon was to show that Hashem was mechaper Aaron for his involvement in the Egel, right? Okay. So then what happens a little bit later, sure enough, and this is very dramatic, okay, I'm not sure if you read the Parsha carefully, but you'll notice there's a lot of drama in the Parsha, because again, this is like the climax of the whole build-up of the process of building the Mishkan. They were spending a lot of time and energy and money on building the Mishkan, learning all the halachos of the Kabbalos, and then Aaron Moshe is bringing the Kabbalos 7 days, and then Aaron, and like, all of this tircha, which they're doing, it's like, for what? It's ultimately to have Hashem Shechina. And it finally comes down on the eighth day, Teitzei Eish Milfnei Hashem, right, in Pasuk HaDalid, V'atochah HaMizbeach, Z'olav HaSachalavim, and it ate all the karbachos, V'yar Kala'am, the whole nation saw, V'yaronu, and they praised, they blew up in him, they bowed and they fell on their faces. And then, sure enough, the very next Pasuk, the very next moment, Vayikhu b'nei Aaron adav aviyu, Ishmael Sosa and Aviyu took their fire pans, Vayikhu b'nei Aish, Vayikhu b'nei Ketores, Vayikhu b'nei Hashem, Aish Zara Hashem Lativa Osam. They put fire and incense, and they brought a carbon, a strange fire that Hashem didn't command them. And then sure enough, right afterwards, Vateitze Aish b'nei Hashem, another fire came b'nei Hashem, Atochel Osam, and it ate them, Vayimusa b'nei Hashem, and it punished them and it killed them. Okay? So that's, you know, you can imagine the scene, the drama, the excitement they had a moment earlier, that finally the Shekhinah is dwelling amongst us, the fire comes down from the sky in a miraculous fashion to show them their closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all that, and then not a moment later, there's another fire come down and consume and kill two of their greatest leaders, Nadav and Aviyah. And if you can imagine the emotions in that whole scene, it was very intense, I'm sure. And then Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, and Moshe says to Aaron right away, Hu Asher Dibur Hashem Lema, this is what Hashem said, Bekrovei Kodesh, that I'll be honored through my close ones, Opnei Kol Ha'Kavod, Edom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. He accepted. Okay, and then sure enough, let me see, there's a Rashi I want to show you here. Okay, here, I'm skipping a little bit. But I mean, that's interesting altogether. The whole parasha of Nadav and Aviyah, which I don't really plan on going into all too much. But basically, then it says, and after they died, after all that, it says in Pasuk Yibbeis, Vaydaber Moshe El Aaron, Elazar El Yisamar Banach HaNasarim. Right? So Moshe told Aaron and Elazar and Yisamar, the remaining sons, the Gomer. So what does it mean, the remaining sons of Aaron? So it says, remaining, Rashi says, Nehamisa. In Lamed Sha'af Aleihem Niknas HaMisa, so parent teaches you that they also had a kenas, a decree of death. Alavon HaEgel, for the sin of the Egel. Hu Shenemar V'Aaron HaSanaf Hashem Od Lashmido. That's what the Pasuk says, that Hashem got very angry against Aaron to destroy him. And what does it mean to destroy him? Ein Hashmada, Eliki Levanu. Hashmada means destroying his son. Shenemar V'Yashmir Piram Mimal. So it's saying, V'Tfilaso Shal Moshe Bat Lamechta. Because of the Tfilah of Moshe, half of it was rescinded. So basically it's saying is that because of Aaron's sin, he had really deserved, according to justice, that all of his kids would be destroyed, would be killed. And Moshe Davin, and he got the Xer rescinded halfway. And basically, two of them died and two of them didn't. And these are the remaining sons who were spared. Okay? So it doesn't quite seem like Hashem forgave Aaron for the ego. I mean, it sounds like he's saying, you know, I mean, maybe he did forgive him to some extent, but I mean, there were certainly consequences. You see, two of his kids are being killed. So it doesn't seem like Aaron is all too far off in being afraid that Hashem didn't forgive him for the ego. Right? I mean, it's somewhat complex. Not just simple that that's it. Ego's done. You know, I'm just saying it might help us a little bit in justifying Aaron's hesitation. He didn't know that this was going to happen, but he did realize, you know, maybe he was onto something. It wasn't so simple. Right? Of course, there's the question, is that were the sons killed for their own sin, or were they killed for our own sin? I mean, I think, what do you think the answer is to that question? I mean, on the one hand, it sounds like they killed because of their avera. They brought this karban which they weren't supposed to bring. On the other hand, it sounds like it's because the punishment for our own. Right? What do you think about that? Anyone have an answer to that question?
The sins are related.
Okay, that's the one approach. I mean that somehow, because of the sin that Aaron did, it had like a rub-off effect or something like that on his kids. I mean that his chet was tied to avodah zara, and maybe their chet was somehow like an esh zara, fire which they weren't commanded, and maybe there's a connection between the two averas. Okay, that's a good approach. Okay, good. Anyone else? I mean, I was thinking, again, I didn't really work it through too much, but I was thinking it's like, in theory, I mean, Rebbe won't give a shit about this, but it's like Hashem says, we say, Kol Durachav Mishpat. All of Hashem's ways are justice. So Rebbe wanted to say, what does it mean, Kol Durachav Mishpat? Hashem is Mishpat. There's Malchum Mishpat, there's Kol Durachav. He said a person judges, like a judge in a court, judges a case, and he judges the criminal as the guilty, so maybe he'll sentence him to death, let's say. So it's justice. All right, but what about the justice to his kids and to his wife and his family? Look, the human judges can't take that into account. I mean, you're judging the defendant. You're not judging his whole family. I mean, the judgment is against the person who did the crime. But in Hashem's din, it takes into account everything. All factors are considered. So if it's justice, it's not. If it might be just to kill the sinner, but what about his family? Do they deserve it? And if it's not just for them, that's part of God's cheshbon is justice for all. He balances the equations in an all-out way. It could be is that it's true. Aaron's sons sinned, and they were deserving of Misa. But what about Aaron? Does Aaron deserve that, to have his kids just be killed in such a way? So maybe it's saying is, yes, Aaron also deserved it. That there was a chet, which Aaron deserved it. But just because Aaron deserved it, if his sons were tzaddikim, it says, Hashem doesn't let him see all of us, but only see all of us. Hashem's not going to kill a kid on behalf of the sons of his father. So you can't, Hashem isn't just going to kill Aaron's sons if they're big tzaddikim, no problem, no sin whatsoever. It's true, Aaron's sin, but he's not going to kill a on behalf of the father. So it must be the justice has to be, that has to work on both levels. It has to be just another Navi'u, for sure. It's their sin. But it also could have been the Zuchas of Aaron, could be would save them. But saying is, no, because of Aaron's sin, on the framework of his justice, he deserved to have his kids donated. Now, it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen. Maybe the kids won't merit that. But now when they do sin, now that is an expression of the justice to Aaron as well as the justice to the kids. Now, I don't know, whoever said before that it could be the sins are related, that would help answer the question even better. It's not an excuse to what I'm saying. It would be better if you could show that they're related, that would be like a nice topping on it. Which, you know, it's on the surface there is a relation between them, but maybe you'd have to pursue further that develop that point. Okay, so that's in a certain sense a side point. So let's get back to our main point. So the main question, the line of questions is, what is the, what's the plan here? Why is it? Is Moshe the one who's supposed to have the Shekhinah rest on the minute for his avodah? Is it supposed to work? Is it for Aaron's avodah that it's supposed to work? It's first, it seems like Moshe. He does it for 7 days and then it doesn't work. And then it seems like it's Aaron. But then he does it, it doesn't work either. And then you need Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. So what is the plan? And then also, what is the, is Aaron's hesitance justified, unjustified, seemingly is, seemingly isn't, was he right, was he wrong? So I'm just trying to get, you know, trying to see if we can put together the picture here as depicted by Rashi. Okay. So, any thoughts?
Is it possible that the way that Moshe and Aaron were able to work through and get a kapara for the Eidel involved all of those steps that they had to go through, you know, several steps to work through, you know, whatever characteristic they had that caused them, that caused Aaron to be involved with the Eidel, they needed to work through that in a specific way to get a kapara. And part of that was going through each of those steps.
Yeah, that's a good idea. A good approach. I mean, it would be nice to develop what the role of each of the steps are, but it would seem that's a good idea, is to say it's not just like an accident that all these steps happen, but it would seem it would be nice if we could show how each of the steps somehow contributed or was a necessary step, contributed, wouldn't have been proper for it to happen just through Moshe, or just through Aaron, or right, but rather, this was by design that there would be these steps. Yes, that's a good idea. So I guess the question would be, how to develop why that is, right? Like, why is it that Aaron's, you know, for instance, Aaron's doing it, if Aaron's the one who's doing it, so then why isn't it working, right? And then I guess two questions. One is, if Aaron's the one doing it, then why didn't it work without Moshe's tefillah? And if Moshe Rabbeinu, if Aaron's the one doing it, then why is Moshe Rabbeinu doing it first? Yeah, okay, but that's a good approach. Good direction now.
Okay, maybe I could add in that
development. Yeah.
Maybe you could say that part of the pause and the reason why the Shekhinah did not come directly is that, you know, it wasn't like, okay, do what God said and then it's going to happen. Like, it's almost like, you know, to suggest that, you know, it's not necessarily that we're deserving just because we do what we're supposed to do, that the, you know, that the Shekhinah would be Shora. Like, apparently it required more than that. So, and perhaps that's why it wasn't, it required something on Moshe's part. I'm not explaining right now what that would be, but, you know, just explaining why the nature of the situation is something where there was, it wasn't just, okay, it was done, and then, you know, they can take care of it.
Okay. They needed more steps somehow.
Right, I mean, I don't know that Moshe was inherently necessary. I mean, could Aaron have recognized that he was in that, I don't know, capable, or that he had the strength, or he had, you know, what changed with, did Aaron have, like, a svara or an argument to say, oh, well, you know, really I shouldn't do it? It just seems like Moshe said, you know, this is why you were chosen. What's in that that, you know, really convinced Aaron this is something different?
Right.
Really I should do it.
Right, that's a good question. Yeah.
So in what you're saying, it's maybe there's a level that the nation has to reach that they're going through all this. But it's not like, you know, based on what saying, it's going through the motions. It's not going through the motions, and there's a little bit more to it than that.
Right. Okay, good. Any steps are somehow bringing them to a level. Okay, yeah, I mean, it's a good question also what you're raising, Moshe, is that what was the, like if Aaron, I mean, Moshe's telling Aaron, you're the one to do it. So it seems like Aaron was mistakenly hesitant. But then the Shekhinah didn't dwell from Aaron. So was it a mistake? Was it not a mistake? Right? Like, what happened? If Moshe's telling him, look, you're wrong here. You go forward. Stop being embarrassed. This is what you're chosen for. So apparently it sounds like Aaron was mistaken. But then, when Aaron does it, it doesn't work. So was Aaron mistaken? Was he not mistaken? Right. That's what I guess what's funny. You get mixed messages in that, right? Sounds like it was a mistake to be hesitant. But then it sounds like it was proper. In fact, it seems to be well-founded hesitance. Maybe someone could put their phone on mute, whoever the background noise there. Yeah, okay, good. Any other thoughts? Okay.
I mean, I don't know if you would say this was the same kind of question, but you know, it's interesting that the part of the karbonos was kapara for Aaron in particular because of the chedego, right?
Yes, it sounds that way. Specifically, the chatos, it sounds like, right?
I don't know. Like, was that part of the original plan of the mishkan?
I don't know. I mean, there are a number of things which are referencing the Kapar for the Chet Hegel. I think, like, Paraduma, there are a bunch of Rashis that say that. Like, it seems like a theme. The Hegel seems to be one of these things which is always on our record, right? Like, the Psukim say that. It seems like it's one of those things that we're always remembering and always needing a Kapar for, in some form or other. But I don't know if this part specifically is the original plan. I guess it sounds like it. I don't know. I'm not sure what the original plan was, but it sounds like it was the plan.
I would think, you know, possibly. I mean, this was part of Aaron's confrontation of his chet. Like, it, I don't know. He, I guess Aaron, I believe, would have been chayv misa originally by the chet ego, but he got some sort of kapara, but it wasn't in full. So maybe over here, Aaron was struggling with the issue and. He was, you know, apparently he had to confront some sort of problem that he had, you know, in representing the name Shrel at the Mishkan. I guess it's something related to that. Maybe he can deal with that on his own.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, anyone else? Okay, so I'll tell you, I was discussing this with Eliza, and I'll tell you first what she had. She had a thought, and then I had a different thought. But, you know, I think I'll tell you, you see what you guys think about that, okay? Well, first I'll tell you what she was thinking. She's saying like this, is that really Moshe Rabbeinu was right. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the initial Rashi, says, telling Aaron, listen, this carbon is here to indicate that Hashem was mechaper for the eagle. So that's it. So go ahead. Kravel on his bayah. Aaron's embarrassed. And Moshe is saying, listen, what are you embarrassed for? L'kach l'vcharta, that's what you were chosen for. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu is correct. That really Aaron was chosen for this. Hashem was mechaper for the egel. And get going. Get going. Okay. So then what went wrong? Right? What went wrong? Right? Hashem was mechaper. But then she wants to, she says like this, is that somehow it seems that Aaron So then the question is, so why didn't, if that's true, so then why didn't the Shekhinah come down right when Aaron did the Avoda? Right? Why didn't it work? So she wanted to say that Aaron somehow, he kind of sometimes felt guilty about it. It was improper. Aaron Moshe was right. Hashem was machaper. He's machaper. And that's it. It's a kapara. So get over and go forward. But Aaron, in the back of his mind, he still felt guilty. However, something in his mind that he was hesitant, and he felt a sense of guilt. And because of his guilt, like, he couldn't really move past it. He couldn't move past it. So he should have embraced the kapara of Hashem and said, Hashem is forgiving the Chet HaEgel, and it's done, and it's history, and I'm moving on, and I'm going and doing the Avodah fully, all out. And if he did that, then in a chanami, then the Shekhinah would have rested, and it would have worked. But Aaron, it's like he approached it with hesitation. He approached it with this, like, conflict. He couldn't fully put the ego behind him. And maybe that caused him to think about the ego, or it's like he didn't embrace the kapara as he should have. And as such, when he did it, he wasn't able to be into the avoda in the full manner. But he was doing it with, like, this sense of pause and hesitation. And because of that, it wasn't really Merutza before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't able to fully attach himself to the Avodah in a way that it would cause the Ashra Shekhinah. And then I'm not sure, then the question is, then what did Tfilas Moshe Rabbeinu do? I'm not sure what she said, but maybe when Moshe Rabbeinu davened for him, then maybe it gave him the confidence that he was going to be able to do it properly, or something like that, and then it worked. That part is a little bit, has to be worked out. But, like, what exactly happened? Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, what did that accomplish? But maybe that basically, it, like, gave Aaron the crutch, if you will, to know that it's not just on his own zechus, but it's on the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he was able to fully engage. Right? But basically the thing is that the real idea of the Kaparas Hashem is really 100% is complete, and it really should have gone straight away as is. And it's because of Aaron's hesitance that caused the Shekhinah to hesitate, if you will. But really, Aaron Moshe Rabbeinu was correct in his assessment, and it's only because of Aaron's hesitance that caused the delay. And then Moshe Rabbeinu had to push it through. Okay, what are you, any thoughts about that?
Rabbi Seder, it's difficult to speak about, you know, Aaron and Moshe this way, but you're saying that his sense of guilt held him back from doing the Avoda with a full heart. In other words, he was doing the Avoda half-heartedly, or he had the wrong machshava when he was doing it. So
right,
if that
like
happened,
that, right.
Then...
Like Rashi says, he had this busha. He had a busha, which I don't know if guilt is the right word. Maybe busha is the word Rashi uses. So he had, like, this busha about the egel that prevented him from really engaging fully in that. Right.
Well, wouldn't that make the karbanos, like, wouldn't that knock out the, in other words, if the kavanah is not proper, so that should knock out the karbanos, yes?
Well, it depends what you mean. I mean, if you have in mind for the wrong type of a karban or something like that,
yeah, and I mean,
you have I'm just saying, yeah, but that's different. I mean, that's a technical thing that you have in mind to bring it on the wrong day. I'm just saying is that here, Aaron HaKohen wasn't able to engage in the Avodas Hashem and embrace the Kirav Lamakom, which is implicit in the karban in the highest level. But he didn't have a technical psul in the karban. It wasn't proper. And in fact, you see, it didn't work, right, in a sense. So Hashem didn't accept the karban. So the karban didn't work to find favor of Aaron before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So she's saying is that indicates that he wasn't in it, B'lev Sholem. He had a conflict that he wasn't able to fully attach himself to the Avodas Hashem, as was necessary to have the Shekhinah rest. But would it possible a carbon? I don't think it's technically possible a carbon. Tigel, referring to, is a special technical institution which is connected with your das, so that you're going to eat the carbon outside of in the wrong mom. Something, you know, that's a technical psul, which Aaron was, I'm not saying Aaron was doing that. Yeah. Okay, any other thoughts, comments, questions on that? Okay. Okay, so I had a different shot, which is, you could in some sense say an opposite shot, okay? And you could take, you know, I don't know which, how to choose, but, you know, you could take which one you like, you take them both, you know, but they're different shot them, but, you know. So it goes like this, is that, you know, that really Aaron, I don't want to argue in a sense, was correct, okay? Which is like this, is that, in a sense, On the one hand, Hashem forgave Aaron for his sin. Hashem is a mechaper. On the other hand, just because Hashem is a mechaper does not mean that that's it. On the one hand, like Hashem is a mechaper, the Gram says, when a person does tshuva, it's like he never sinned, and Hashem forgives the sin, and he's close before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is beloved before Hashem, he accepts his tefillos. Right, there are Rambams like that who talk about the greatness of tshuva. Right? But at the same time, that doesn't mean that the Baal tshuva really relates to his sin like he never ever did it. And that's it. Forget about it. It's like he never did it. Move forward. No problem. Hey, Egel, forget it. Hashem forgave it. That's not really the right idea. So the Rambam says, for example, in tshuva beis ches, he says, Averos, and it's based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Averos shezvado lehem b'yom ha'kippurim zeh, chozer mezvado lehem b'yom ha'kippurim acher. That's Averos, which you did vidoy for, you confessed, you did tshuva on this Yom Kippur, you should do it again on the next and further Yom Kippur. Afal b'shu only b'tshuvaso, even though you're still standing in your tshuva. Even though you never regressed, you really did tshuva, and it sticks. You still should do vidoy again the next year. Shenemar. Because my sins I know, and my pesha, my whatever, rebellious sins I know, and my sins are in front of me always. So there's an idea that a sinner, so why is that? Why not just say, what do you mean? You did tshuva, you didn't regress, Hashem forgave you, and that's it. It's over. But I think that's not a good attitude to have about a person's sins. A person has to realize, on different levels, two different levels, maybe more. But one idea is that a person is, you know, as Ram says, Adam im kom kaparos neva. A person is created from the place of his kapara. And as Rabbi elucidated, it's a person's nature is to sin. A person's nature is to sin and hopefully to do tshuva. But a person, man is fallible. And it's very, man finds himself often. Even the greatest tzaddik, even the greatest tzaddik doesn't sin. And a person should never feel that when he does a sin, that's it. I did tshuva and it's gone. Forget about it. I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to do it again. Nothing to think about it. Nothing to, that's history. But rather, a person has to realize that a sin comes from somewhere. Comes from deep in a person's nature. And you shouldn't, like, you know, just callously just forget about your sin, pretend like it never happened. Oftentimes, that type of an attitude is a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for something to come up, and it would get a person drawn back into it. And there's like, when a person does tshuva, you have to realize that he should have a vigilance. And, you know, don't forget the sin and where you came from. Don't forget about that. There's always a part of a person which could slip. And yes, and I'm saying, like, in a certain sense, like, Aaron HaKohen did tshuva on the Egel, and he had kapara, but you don't just forget about it. And you don't just say, oh, that's it. It's history. There's nothing to think about. It's never going to happen again. Nothing, anything like that could ever happen again because we did tshuva. But rather, Shayani Eda Chatos Negdi Tamid. He has to recall. Schait is a part of him, and it's never fully, fully, fully eradicated in a way that you could just be, push it aside. Additionally, that's like internally for the person. But then I think secondarily, the question is how does a person relate to kapara? Is kapara that, look, a person sins, and now you do tshuva, and then that's it. You deserve forgiveness. After all, you did tshuva. You deserve forgiveness. Hashem has to forgive you because you deserve it. That's not true. A person sins, and he deserves onus. And he doesn't deserve a second chance. It's not midas hadin that he gets a second chance, but it's midas rachamim. Hashem has mercy. And he says, look, you've sinned, but I'll give you a second chance. I'll be a machaper. But a person can't just treat it. He can't forget about the rachamim of Hashem. He has to realize the sin creates a break between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he went against the Tzivu Hashem, or he was involved in our case in some indirect way in the Chet HaEgel. And that's a serious breach in the person's closeness before God. And yes, Hashem might forgive you, but it doesn't mean that now you could just treat it like you're the biggest tzaddik in the world, like nothing happened. It's not, something did happen. Yes, you should appreciate the rachamim of Hashem, that Hashem's mechaper, but at the same time, you still have to feel, there's still a busha. Aaron's busha, I'm saying, is legitimate. There is a busha. He did mess up. And he's not going to forget that he messed up. And just because Hashem is mechaper doesn't mean that he's going to take it for granted and just treat it as if it's like, according to, it's like he never did it. He did do it. And he feels bad about that he did it. And he realizes that that does create a break between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, Hashem is mechaper, and he lets him go on, and he's saying he's going to be the Kohen Gadol. That doesn't mean it's the same as if he never did it. And as you see, two of his sons ended up getting killed because of that. And even though Hashem forgave Kol Yisrael, the Egel is always with us, and Hashem is always punishing us in some way or other for the Egel. Yes, Hashem forgave us, but it's not the same thing. It doesn't mean it's like it never happened. It did happen, and there's a truth to the attitude that Aaron had. Moshe is saying, do it. You're commanded. Hashem commanded you to do it, and that's true. Hashem did command Aaron to do it, and that was the plan. But that doesn't mean Aaron should treat it like he's without sin and without fault. Aaron is embarrassed. He should be. There is an embarrassment. There's a busha about chet. And that's not something which Aaron could get over and should get over. So Aaron's approaching it with hesitance. And Moshe is saying, go do it already. But Aaron is, in a certain sense, Moshe Rabbeinu is right. Hashem is mechaper. But in another sense, Aaron is right that even though Hashem is mechaper, you can't just forget about it. And it's causing a hesitance. And maybe that's part of the message of why it didn't work, by the way. See, if Aaron went and did the Avodah, and Hashem would accept his Karban instantaneously, that would basically convey to Kal Yisrael that the Chet HaEgel is history. Aaron, the one who was their leader at the time of the Chet HaEgel, who was involved partially in the Chet HaEgel, he didn't, but whatever, Hashem forgot about it, it's history, it's done, forget it, nothing. Pretend like it didn't happen. That's not good for Aaron, and it's not good for Kol Yisrael. But if instantaneously Aaron just gets up there on the day 8, just gets up there, and Hashem accepts his covenant immediately, that's the message which is being conveyed. Aaron is like the man before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's perfect. Ish Tamim, the greatest person. Hashem accepts his covenant like he is golden. Saying it's not true. If even the highest level people could sin, and even the highest level people could find the not. Hashem doesn't necessarily accept everyone properly. You see, Nevin of you also, the Krovei HaKadosh. There's no idea of like a favorite before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's, you know, that you're immune from sin and you're immune from punishment or immune from God's, you know, holding back. Is Shechina. So the thing is, Aaron was right about being hesitant, and the Hashkacha, Hashem wanted to show Kal Yisrael that Aaron was right, to show that, yes, Aaron's the one, but it's not so simple. It's rachamim of Hashem that he's allowing Aaron to be the one, but it's not coming easy. It shouldn't come easy. We shouldn't think that we can just do the Chet HaEgel and then just put it behind us as if it never happened. It did happen. And it scars Kal Yisrael going forward forever, the Chet HaEgel. And Aaron going forward without any gap, any delay, any hesitation, that would convey the wrong idea. Aaron's the one, yes. But how did it happen? Only because Moshe Rabbeinu, who was totally removed from the Chet HaEgel, he was up on Har Sinai when the Chet HaEgel happened. And he's the one who combated the Chet HaEgel. Only with the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu was Aaron's avodah able to be accepted. It was necessary to see that the Chet HaEgel on its own creates a problem, creates a gap, a prevents the kapara, and it's only with someone who is totally divorced from the Chet HaEgel who could, so to speak, push it through. The Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah could push it through. So, yes, Aaron was the one, but at the same time, the idea is kapara is not 100%. There has to be known to Kal Yisrael that there's a problem here. You can't forget the Chet HaEgel. So it's like the idea that Aaron has to have Chatas Inayti Samir is an idea for Aaron HaKohen, but it's an idea for Kal Yisrael as well. And it's conveyed to Kal Yisrael through the, in a certain sense, what almost seems like the ambivalence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahavdil. That Hashem is saying to Aaron, do it, but then Hashem is not doing it, not making the fire come down. It's conveying that there is, in a certain sense, this is the plan, but it's not the plan the way it should have been. It's not the plan the way it should have been. The Chet HaEgel is there, and it's going to be there. Okay, comments, questions?
So, according to what you're saying, if I understand it, that Aaron's das, Aaron's das when he went into the situation should have been Hadidachet, it's still there. My brother Moshe, you have to help me through this. Is that what you mean?
No, I don't know. I don't know that Aaron knew exactly what would happen. I'm saying Aaron was hesitant. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded him to go and said do it. So there was the tzivoy. He was the tzivoy Hashem, and Aaron was doing it. But Aaron didn't feel 100% comfortable. He was aware of his fate. He was embarrassed. And when he saw that it didn't happen, Aaron said to Moshe, I knew it. I knew that this wasn't going to work. Why'd you put me through this? This is embarrassment. I knew I had this hesitation. He didn't know the solution. He was confused. It sounds like Aaron was confused from Rashi. Aaron's like, listen, what do you do to me, Moshe Rabbeinu? I had this hesitation all along, and it seems like maybe I'm not the right guy for the job. This isn't working. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. You are the one for the job. You are the one who's chosen. I'm going to daven and it's going to happen. But I don't think that Aaron knew that. I don't know if Aaron knew what would happen. He just knew that he was hesitant, but that Tzivoy Hashem was to do it. So he went and did it. I mean, that's, he did it as much as he could. But he did it with that. But this, I'm not saying, like Elisa's child is saying, that the reason why Hashem delayed was because he was wrongly hesitant. I'm saying he was rightly hesitant. That's in a certain sense the opposite shot. Like the way Lisa Shabbos says, she was saying that he was wrong. He should have gotten over it and embraced the avoda fully, and he was hesitating wrongly. I'm saying no, on the contrary. He was proper. He was correct in his hesitation. He was supposed to be hesitant. You can't forget about your sin. And in fact, that's why there was a kink in the Ritzoy, because of the fact that the Chet HaEgel was there. And that was why it happened. But yet, Chesed Hashem, Rachman Hashem, that it worked. Hashem accepted it anyways. Well, just because you accept it, it doesn't mean you accept it with an asterisk, so to speak. Yes, it was accepted, but at the same time, you should know it's not like it could have been, should have been, would have been, had there not been a Chet HaEgel. We have to know that. We have to always remember the Chet HaEgel.
I'm confused about that. If we have to always remember the Chet HaEgel, and a person's supposed to have their Chet in front of them and continually do tshuva, doesn't it sort of act as a barrier in the sense that they never leave it behind? They never feel like they have a clean slate where they're, you know, now at a different level and are able to relate to Hashem in a different way. And and how can you have a tshuva gemura where you're still holding on to the concept of yourself as a sinner? I don't understand that.
Well, what I'm saying is that there is, you're not currently a sinner. You're not currently a sinner. You're abandoning your chet as best as you possibly could. But that doesn't mean you're denying the reality that you sin. And it doesn't mean you have a clean slate. Maybe you don't have a clean slate. It's unfortunate, but maybe you should have thought about that before you sinned in the first place. But it doesn't mean a clean slate, like you never sinned, you did sin. And it's true, you can't relate to yourself like you never sinned, because that would be denying the fact that you did. But that doesn't mean you still are a sinner. I mean, you're not still a sinner. But your sin is on your record, so to speak, and you did mess up, but you moved past it. And you try to grow as best as you can going forward, and you commit yourself fully to abandoning the chait. But even if you do so, you don't deserve for Hashem to just ignore the whole thing as if it never happened. That's not a something you deserve. You deserve to have consequences, and Hashem in His chesed it might waive them and might give you a kapara. But that doesn't mean you're entitled to feel like, oh, I'm 100%, it's like I never did it. That's wrong. You did do it. And don't feel like you have a clean slate. You don't have a clean slate. Yes,
I will. Rabbi Feder.
Yeah.
Rabbi Feder, Rebbe once explained that when a person does a chait, there's a certain amount of energy, psychic energy, that goes into that area of chait, whatever it is. And once he realizes the mistake and does tshuva, promises never to do it again, even though he doesn't repeat the act that he did in sin, there's still a trace, an energy trace, in his psyche that this is where the energy of the chait went, and that trace can't be removed. In other words, that trail that is made in your psyche, you can't always remove all the energy from it. So even though you did sin, so maybe that's what you're saying with Aaron. That's why he was hesitant, because he knew that path of chait was still there, even though he's not going to do it again, and he did tshuva. But that might have prevented him from being the, so to speak, the prime initiator of the avoda and the mishkan.
Right, that's good. Maybe that's something, I don't know who that was we mentioned before, maybe that was something which impacted his thoughts. Maybe it did have an impact. I mean, I don't know that, I'm not necessarily saying it's impossible to remove it. Tshuva gemura is where you fully, fully remove it. But I think a person in general, a person has to always be on guard. That's one thing, you have to always be on guard of a relapse. And then secondly, a person has to realize that his acceptance of his tshuva and his kapara is chesed Hashem. It's not something which he deserves al pi din, and therefore he can't take it for granted. Something which a person has to always remember. And that's a pasuk in Tehillim of Chatasi Nagdi Sanat. So now you may ask the question, so what about, why did it start with Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? And if it started with Moshe Rabbeinu, so then why did it not work with Moshe Rabbeinu? Like, what about that part, right? If Aaron was the one to do it, so then Aaron should have been the one to do it from the beginning. Right? Well, what about that part of the plan? Why did it start with Moshe Rabbeinu, and only then it went through Aaron? Anyone have a thought about that?
I was thinking that it has to do with who, after the chait situation. Now, if Moshe is the one who's going to be the leader, so there's a danger because they kind of idolized Moshe, and that was kind of part of the sin. Right? But then with Aaron, the problem is that he was the one that, you know, led them astray. So it's like a balance. Like Moshe maybe... Now, Moshe isn't qualified to do it because of not because of Moshe's level, but because of the people's level. And Aaron, you have to also convey the idea that, you know, it's not 100% what he did was wrong, and you have to also convey that not just to Aaron, but to the people.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. You're saying if Moshe Rabbeinu did it, then new people would idolize him or something. So it had to be that no. He goes, but then Hashem doesn't accept it.
Doesn't the fact that Moshe couldn't do it, even though he was the great leader and the giver of Torah, doesn't that reinforce the fact that only Aaron HaKohen and his lineage could do the Avodah? I mean, the very fact that he didn't do it, it wasn't accepted, shows that no matter who you are or what you are, the only lineage that is able to do the Avodah in my Midrash is Aaron and his sons. And even the death of his two sons lead to them. And those who you're saying, that has to be Aaron and his lineage, and even those people, if they're not Roy, or they did something wrong, are going to be wiped out. So it has to be a very unique, specific group.
Right. Yes, good. Excellent. Yeah, I was thinking something like that, right, that by having Moshe Rabbeinu do it and not being accepted shows the people that, yes, on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who knows exactly what to do because he's the one who has the tzivoy directed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if Aaron's going to do it, he's copying ultimately what Moshe Rabbeinu did because he has the direct nevuah from Hashem. Knows exactly what to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu models what to do. And all Avodah ultimately is traceable to Moshe Rabbeinu because he's the one who has the direct tzivoy from Hashem, and our Avodah is only Kasher Tzivoy Hashem as Moshe. Right? Ultimately. But at the same time, it was not the Ratzon Hashem that Moshe was the Kohen. For whatever reason. That's an interesting question, but that's, you know, maybe whatever. But that was, he was not the chosen one. B'chir Hashem for doing the Avodah with Aaron and his sons. And it does. It's Leslie saying, well, it illustrates that no matter who you are, you could be Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's not the one who Hashem chose. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people. It says, don't worry that it's not working because Aaron, my brother, is the one who Hashem chose. He's the one who's going to do it. Right? That's what he said. Give me a second. It says, they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, all this tircha, what are we doing? I thought this was going to work. So he says, no. Aaron Achi, Kedai v'chashim imani. Aaron, my brother, is chashim more than me. He's Kedai, she'ayidei kabanosa v'dosok tishr shechina b'ahem. Because through his kabanos and avodah, the shechina will rest. V'teidu she'amakam b'chabah. And you'll know that Hashem chose him. So it's like the ultimate showing that Aaron HaKohen is the one. Is you have Moshe Rabbeinu doing the avodah, the great Moshe Rabbeinu doing it, and it doesn't work. And then Aaron does it, and it does work. So that's like, no one should get any thoughts, even Korach, that Aaron is not the one. And it didn't fully work, because we see Korach, but that's what it conveys. It conveys the idea that Moshe, even Moshe Rabbeinu, is not the one to do it. It's not like, you know, you always, if Aaron did it, you'd say, oh, well, Aaron's doing it. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? Shouldn't he be the one? So Moshe Rabbeinu did do it. Moshe Rabbeinu did it, and he demonstrated it, and he showed it, and he set up the model, and we always trace our avodah to Moshe Rabbeinu because he's the one who has the tzivoy Hashem, so it's ultimately tied to Moshe. At the same time, we realize that even Moshe Rabbeinu was as great as he is, was not the one to do it. Aaron was the one to do it. And nobody could claim, anyone's supposed to say they're great and they should do it. Look, Moshe Rabbeinu is great, but he wasn't the one. So apparently, he has the one who Hashem chose, is the one who's Kadosh, and that's Aaron HaKohen. So it's like, it helps illustrate twofold that the Avodah is from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, but ultimately the B'chir Hashem is Aaron HaKohen only. But, and after, even though it's Aaron HaKohen, not so simple. There was a there was something wrong with him, in a sense, and ultimately it was pushed through by Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, who was told to remove from the Chayyah. So you end up having, as someone suggested earlier, each step, and each step brings out a further idea, the different dimensions of the proper idea in the Avodah Hashem and the Mikdash, which had to be set up. And the whole thing was orchestrated with Kadosh Baruch Hu, 7 days, and then the eighth day, and the whole process. Probably sort of end up walking away relating to the Avodah and have the right idea of Aaron as the proper Oved, ultimately because of the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, ultimately the Chayit of Kadosh would be on their minds, and then building on that, the Chayit of Nadar and Aviyu is also part of what they have to know. It's like they're dedicating Once Hashem is designing it in a way that sets it up on the right foot, which is action-packed all the time. Forward. Any questions?
Is that why you'd say maybe that Moshe repeated it? I mean, I guess he did it through the whole week, just to show that he was like the expert, but just like a, going to do it?
Yes. Why, and there's a Rashi also which says that he showed them. There's a Rashi, someone, I think it was a Rashi, which says he did it, he was like modeling it for them to teach them how to do it. I forget where that was. I think it was a Rashi who said that. I don't know exactly where it is right now. But I'm saying he was the one who Hashem commanded, and Aaron's showing him. Moshe is showing him. I don't know why it had to be 7 days. I don't know. I'm not sure. It could have been less, or I don't really know. It says Lalamda on Maisa Ketores. It says he was teaching him. And it's Rashi and Chav Gemal. But I thought it was somewhere else also. But yeah, I don't understand. I don't know exactly why it has to be 7 days and 1 day, and that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, the Seder.
Yes.
It says that Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu by himself put up the Migdash and took it down again every night. Put it up, took it down, put it up, took it down. Right? And it, yes. Shmiti on the eighth day, then it was consecrated. But so that means he was putting up the Migdash and taking it down. One of those days had to be Shabbos. Okay? So before, when they were making the Migdash, they were making all the things for it. One of the things was that even though you're making the Migdash, you can't do the Avoda. You can't work on it on Shabbos. You can't sew, you can't dye, you can't weave. Can't do nothing on Shabbos. Right? But the binyan of setting it up and taking it down again, I understand that Avoda is mutter in Migdash. That's fine. But one of those days to set it up was on was Shabbos. How do you get around that?
Yeah, good question. Good question. Maybe if it's a temporary building, then it's only an ancient Shabbos Mikdash. You know? Maybe it's like he knew he was building it just for the day. So maybe that doesn't have a status of Malacha. You know, I don't know. I'm just throwing out maybe. Good question, though. I hear your question. I don't really know, but that's a possible answer. But, you know, I like the question better than my answer. Yeah, I just want to point out, I don't really have time to go into it, but I just want to point out for anyone who wants to pursue this topic further, after we went through these Rashis, I found a nice Ramban who really discusses very similar points which we're discussing. You know, and I think these different pshatim, maybe what Lisa was saying, what I'm saying, maybe some other points. I mean, it's very, very interesting on these pshatim. So I think if you have your ideas, which we've been talking about today, in your mind, I think you'll enjoy going through the Ramban and trying to figure out the subtleties of what he's saying. I didn't fully work it out, but, he's talking to these issues in, you know, slightly different ways, but it's a very interesting. It's a fascinating add-on. So if you want to look at it, I would recommend anyone who's interested. It's the Ramban and Perek Tas, Pasuk, Zion, and Chas. Klav Elam Hezbeah. It's not that long. You know, he goes through, he brings up, a few different possibilities, like three different possibilities in the Ramban. But it's pretty short, easy to, relatively easy to read the Ramban. So, you know, I'd recommend anyone to looking at it. If anyone does so and have any questions, I'd love to discuss it. Okay, anyone have any other thoughts or comments, questions? Okay, so as always, I appreciate everybody's involvement and discussion and feedback, and enjoyed it. And have a good night, everybody.
Rabbi Feder, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Sure, take care.